Right. Thank you for coming. Now we can wait for this last presentation. Okay. I have no relationships to disclose. So where is Nigeria? Nigeria is in a sub-Saharan African region in West Africa, and if you see the left on the globe where Nigeria is located, and on the right map is the map of Nigeria, and Abuja in the middle is where the project was done. So I did my project with the Institute of Human Virology at IHVN in Nigeria, and it was established in 2004 with the mission to serve, teach, and also to do research and expand knowledge. The partners to the University of Maryland, Baltimore include the Institute of Human Virology in Baltimore, the University of Maryland Schools of Medicine, and the University of Maryland School of Nursing. So IHVN is funded through the CDC grant to implement the PEPFAR, that's the President's Emergency Plan for AIDS Relief, and the NIH Fogarty Grant for Training and Research Program. And this is to train Nigerian scientists in research. So IHVN currently is present in 24 out of 36 states in Nigeria. And the healthcare system in Nigeria is a primary, secondary, and tertiary healthcare. So the lowest level of healthcare is a primary, and the higher you go, the tertiary institutions are the research institutions. And the programs that IHVN, the services that they provide, including antiretroviral therapy, prevention of mother-to-child transmission, the TB program, orphans and vulnerable children, and HIV counseling and testing. And currently, IHV supports 90 ARV programs, 137 PMCT sites, and 81 HIV, a combination of HIV and TB services centers, and 139 HIV counseling and testing centers throughout Nigeria. At the point of this, at the time the project was done, there was about 156,000 persons living with HIV/AIDS in Nigeria. They were receiving care at their facilities, and that included 102,000 who were currently on ARV treatment. So not everyone that was in the program was currently on treatment. You get monitored depending on your CD4 count and your viral load count. The lower the levels, then they enroll you in the medication program. And including that number also includes 140,000 people, women who were in orphans and vulnerable children population. And at the time the project was done, which was last year, 2010, 1.2 million people had been canceled, tested, and had their results given through IHVN. So this is where I did my project, UATH, and it's about 35 miles from the federal capital territory. That's the capital of Nigeria, and it's a tertiary healthcare institution. It has about 350 beds, but it can go up to 500 capacity. And the special treatment clinic, that is the HIV clinic, that they have the name because to reduce the barriers in treatment for clients coming to receive care. So they call them the special treatment clinic, and that's also there. And task shifting at that point in this institution was instituted in 2008. And as of February last year, it was almost about 12,000 people, more than 12,000 clients were enrolled in the program. And that and the staff includes the nurses, physicians, community health and extension workers, and the data clerk. Yeah, coming.
Oh, okay.
Just gonna come. All right. Pretty much everyone just knows about the background for HIV/AIDS, but I'm just gonna go through the slides quickly. worldwide, about 33 million people have HIV/AIDS, including 2.7 million incidents. And from that 33 million, 9.5 million are in need of treatment. However, only 42% receive the care that they need. Okay. It's an average of 2 million people die a year from HIV/AIDS. And since 1980s, when HIV was discovered, more than 27 million people have died directly attributed to HIV/AIDS. And in Nigeria, about 500,000 people are in need of treatment, but only 13% are receiving the care that they need. In HIV treatment centers in Nigeria is about 215, and this is not just IHVN-supported sites. This is in general. Okay. So here's the definition. So task shifting is defined by the WHO as making better use of human resources that are currently available by moving appropriate tasks to less specialized workers. And this includes expanding the roles of nurses and other clinicians in HIV/AIDS in HIV clinics to take up additional roles or advanced roles and responsibilities. So task shifting, this evolved as a result of decreased human resource capacity for healthcare workers in addressing the increasing needs of HIV/AIDS epidemic. So currently, some of the countries that are practicing task shifting, including Zambia, Rwanda, South Africa, Uganda, Malawi. And task shifting in Nigeria was instituted, started in 2008 through IHVN. So distribution of workforce in Nigeria, there's about 1.7 per 100,000 people for nurses. So for every, for physician population in relation to the physicians in relation to the Nigerian population is 0.3 per 100,000. And in Nigeria, the nurses comprise 47% of healthcare workforce, while their doctors and community health workers make up 9% and 31% respectively. And according to the WHO, an additional 2.4 million physicians, nurses, nurse midwives, and additional 1.4 million pharmacists are needed to meet the increasing needs and demands for population in the HIV/AIDS in the West African region. And just as a comparison, Nigeria is not on the list, but part of the West Sub-Saharan African regions are there. If you compare that to the United States and the United Kingdom and Brazil, you could definitely see the disparities and the lack of human resource capacity when you, as the numbers of HIV/AIDS people increase and there's less resources, less healthcare workers available for them. However, in the bottom, there's more healthcare workers, but I know so less incidence and prevalence. So this is the model for task shifting as it is in Zambia. The clinical officers are equivalent to the nurse practitioners. Okay, so the doctors are still out consulting on patients. However, clinical officers, nurse practitioners, they're also consulting on the stable clients. So the project was done to evaluate the patient perceptions of task shifting, and this was done using the patient satisfaction surveys. And the PSS is a quality improvement and evaluation project to evaluate, like I said, the task shifting initiative. So the subjects were recruited via through convenience sampling, and the patients visiting the clinic for routine appointments were selected as the left consultation room. So when the clients are seen at first meeting with a healthcare worker, they are triaged. If they have a presenting symptoms or active problems, then they are channeled to the physicians. If they're stable and just returning for medication refilling, and there are no acute problems, then the nurses do see the clients. So the instrument was the 14 questions on patient satisfaction survey, and it was adapted from a standardized and validated survey instrument developed by the New York State Department of AIDS, Department of Health AIDS Institute. And this was designed to assess quality and improvement for HIV in a primary care setting. The question is, we modified to be used to evaluate patient satisfaction associated with the changes in the process of healthcare provision at this special treatment clinic. And they were strictly anonymous, and there was no way retained as part of the medical records for the clients. Okay. So the sample size from the survey for every clinic that has more than 1,000 patients, at least 125 is needed. So we chose 200. This was the first time this project was done, so we started with a small number of 200, and I'll explain further when I go down in the presentation. And the data collection was done. They were distributed by the treatment support specialists. These treatment support specialists, they are staff at the clinic, then and also their HIV positive clients. Okay. It was self-administered in English, and however, the TSS was just there to translate. The survey was translated in local language and translated back to English. So if there was any reason that this client could not understand it, the TSS would explain. However, it was self-administered. And the data was analyzed using. So this is the main entrance when you come into the clinic. To the right where the desk is where the nurse is stationed. The clients are seen, and to the left is more paperwork. Okay. And I'm going to go through this quickly. And this is one of the questions. In the survey, is my provider spend enough time with me to address my concerns? Pretty much across the board, all the clients who responded did respond at least about 92%. Now, I have to go back and say that there's 200 surveyed, and there was 100 for doctors and also just 100 for nurses. So if the clients has to come out and we ask him, were you seen by a doctor? Then we give him a form, and the form is recoded for doctors versus nurses. And my provider had my folder and medical records in my labs available when the clients were seen, and a lot of them responded a higher percentage. And when they asked if there was any questions they had for their provider that they didn't ask, and a lot of them pretty much said no, about 86-84% across the board did say no. And even when asked if there was any problems understanding the questions that the providers asked them about the HIV care, a lot of them, that 13%, 17%, and 9% did say they didn't understand the questions. And the questions, if they had any, if they did understand the viral load and CD4 count levels and what it meant for their health, a lot of them, 86% across the board did respond that they did. Their provider did make sure that they understood their problems. When they asked if their provider explained to them the medical tests they should be getting and how often they should be getting them, about 83-81% did respond that yes to the question. And providers explained the side effects of medications. I'm going to allude to this a little bit later, why these numbers may be low, but half of the population did say that the providers explained to them the side effects of the medications. Okay. Ways of remembering the medications, a lot of 95%, 96% did respond yes, that the providers have suggested ways to remind them to take their medicines, and explain to them how to avoid getting sick, about 80% did respond that they were explained to them, the providers explained to them ways of avoiding getting sick. And when they were asked if your providers talked to them about passing HIV to people, to other people, and how to protect themselves from getting infected with HIV, it was a pretty low number, in the 60%. And being interrupted, a lot of them did respond that they were not, the providers were not interrupted by the phone calls or other patients or staff when they were consulted on. And when they asked if they felt comfortable, they pretty much felt comfortable opening up to their providers. Okay. And if the providers provided a non-judgmental attitude and behavior towards them, a lot of them, 86, 87, 80% responded yes. And supervisors involved in any decision making, but 90% did respond yes. So in conclusion, this project evaluated perspectives and the concept of task shifting with regards to the patient-provider encounters as a special treatment clinic in Nigeria. And while there were no significant differences between the nurses and the physicians, do note that the care clinicians render to the patients may not be comparable. The nurses consult on stable and returning patients, like I mentioned earlier, and while the physicians consult on patients that are presenting with complex or complicated conditions. Also to note that the regional survey instrument did not specify what response rates indicate satisfaction of any of the questions. So if just because, 90% of people responded that they did receive adequate care, the provider was not interrupted, it is a good number, but then instrument did not really specify what is, did not operationally define what is satisfaction. Also, for the question, one of the questions regarding side effects of the treatments, note that not all the clients are on the treatment on ARV, antiretroviral treatment, so may not necessarily get education on preventing in learning the side effects of the medication if they're not on the medication. Patient education on services practices and disease preventions was only 71%, and some of them could also be culturally related. Okay, some of the cultures are not certainly open with talking about any of their intimate personal. And the patient education on medical tests you saw was average of 83%, and there was less interruptions during the clinician consultation on the clients. And a lot of them did respond that the clients, that the clinicians did not portray any judgmental attitudes towards them. So the strength of the witness was bias control. And the TSS, that the treatment support specialists were used as interpreters and survey distributors. This could be a good thing. We use them because I did not want to be the one to go in there and hand them the surveys to influence their report or their responses to the questions. However, also having a staff in there could also affect it on the other way, because if you're the staff who's there and I am the client who's coming in, I would kind of tend to respond positively because you never know if it's going to come back to me. So it is a double-edged sword. And the questionnaires were self-administered, and it did gain a perspective on the task shifting. And one of the weaknesses of the sample size is 200. The 200 clients were surveyed, but then this is considering about 12,000 clients were registered at the clinic at the time of this survey. And also one of the weaknesses is a client, one clinic was evaluated for this project. Okay. So using the 200 may not adequately represent enough samples to gain a better perspective. Okay, so the recommendations is to reinforce education, be in a safer sex practices or disease processes, and to reinforce education on medication side effects, if there are medications, and to repeat the project at a different site, or to repeat it on the site but with a bigger number. And I would say that another team traveled to Nigeria this summer to expand on this project in Nigeria, so hopefully you'll be hearing it next year in a presentation. Okay. And the contributions to public health, of course, is increased importance of patient perception on the task shifting initiative. It is a new process, and it is a need for continuous evaluation of the project or any initiative if you start any program. And okay, that's that. And this is not in any particular order, but I would like to acknowledge my advisors, the Office of Research, Office of Global Health, and the special treatment clinic staff and IHVN staff.